Hey everyone.
Hi. All right.
Hello.
Well, we're getting close. I promise. We're getting
Yeah.
close. We're a few weeks away from hopefully finishing the Book of Joshua. Today we start in a new chapter, and it's kind of a whole new situation, new topic that I don't think we've ever discussed before. Okay. One of the most meaningful and significant topics in the book. And you hear about it many times. You hear about it in songs. There are a lot of churches even called these names. You know, it's the topic or chapter 20. It's about the cities of refuge. Okay. When you hear the word city of refuge, what do you think? I know you probably think of a hospital or of a church or something like that because that's what that's what these names are used for. And that's very close, you know, very close. So when God was talking to Moses back in Numbers 35 and in Deuteronomy 19, and God was given instructions to Moses about the land and the division and how to divide it and all of that, he said, make sure that you have cities that are set for refuge. And we're gonna, you know, right now, talk about it, see what it actually means. And the first verse in chapter 20, verse 1, it says, "Then the Lord said to Joshua, tell the Israelites to designate the cities of refuge as I instructed you through Moses, so that everyone who kills another, huh?
Anyone.
So anyone who kills another unintentionally or accidentally may flee there. These will be your refuge from the avenger of the blood." Okay? So God is telling Moses, or God is telling Joshua, reminding him of what God told Moses, that if someone kills another person unintentionally or accidentally, that person can run away, can flee to those cities and be safe. Okay? And we're gonna talk more about it. We're gonna go one step at a time. So the first thing, just in the first verse, it tells me that God,
Sorry, go ahead.
that God is giving instructions to Joshua as he did to Moses, knowing what's to come. God knows that mistakes will happen. God knows accidents will happen. And he wanted to make sure to set aside a place, okay? And we're going to talk about the spiritual meaning of it in just one second. But he wants to set a place aside. And those six city of refuge that we're going to talk about right now, they were actually part of the 48 cities that were given to the Levites, okay? So those were part of the cities that were given or inherited by the Levites, six of them were giving to be as the city of refuge. And God is choosing six of those cities to be the cities of refuge. God knows that mistakes will happen, and he was ready to help before we even knew about these mistakes. You know, a lot of times when we make a mistake, we are too proud. We're too slow to come back to God and say, forgive us. God knows. God knows. God knows that accidents will happen. God knows that accidents could happen. And he's prepared a place of salvation and safety for us before it even happens. One of the tricks that the enemy plays on us when we make a mistake, we are too ashamed and we're too slow to go run back to God. And some of it is true because not because of pride or anything, but true. That we're truly ashamed of showing our faces to God. But you know, he's a good God. He's a big God. He knows, and he knows that you and I are weak and we have weaknesses, and he prepared salvation for us before it even happened. So whoever kills another unintentionally or accidentally, they have a place into that in those cities.
The cities of refuge, remember, just a big picture here. There's something happening in the natural with the people of Israel as they're designating. They finished sort of allotting the land, and now God is getting to some of these other pieces that were identified, as Assam said, in Numbers and in Deuteronomy to assure that they have some things in place. Excuse me. So there's something happening here in the natural, and that is that during this time, you have to remember, this isn't necessarily a time of formal courts or justice systems as we know them. And so they were living in a space where it was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Has anybody ever, everybody heard that term before? Basically, if something's done to me, I'm going to return that to you, and sometimes tenfold, right? And there are many places on the planet today that still abide by this. Okay. Assam could actually probably tell you in his country, in his town, a small town in Egypt, if someone is killed or murdered, then there is this eye for an eye. There's this vengeance that is understood by the government that could very well happen between one family and another. And sometimes it's so distinct that the government doesn't even get involved because there's so much cultural significance wrapped around it. They're just like, okay, let them kind of do their thing. Assam knows of many people. He knew of many people growing up. I'm sure he can share about that, who had to find refuge. They didn't have a city of refuge to go to, but had to find refuge, had to be in hiding because there was some sort of accidental death or maybe even a murder, and they're in hiding because the other family is coming after them. So that was what was happening in the natural. What was happening in the natural was there were instances of death and unintentional killings, and there was a revenge killing that was going to come to these people. So there was this creation of the cities of refuge to offer them protection and actually to find justice for the matter. So we'll read here that part of what happened in the city of refuge was that there was sort of an assessment. Did you really unintentionally kill this person, or did you do it on purpose? In which case, it was a whole that you weren't allowed in the city of refuge. That was the case. So that's what was happening in the natural. The question is, how does the city of refuge, and Assam's going to go through it in much more detail as we go through tonight, but how does the city of refuge apply to us today? Okay, the city of refuge really is a type and picture of the gospel and of Jesus and of the sanctuary that we find in the salvation that was offered to us on the cross. Remember what we talked about. Everything in God's word from Genesis to Revelation speaks the word of Jesus, speaks the message of what he did on the cross. The whole ultimate picture in all of this, the bottom line, is what Jesus did for you and I. And these cities of refuge are a picture of what Jesus has done for us. The people coming into those cities are a picture of you and I, sinners who need refuge. We need salvation from death and wrath that's coming to us because of the law. The law mandates that these people, are found and maybe killed, and it would be okay. But the cities of refuge offered sanctuary, offered salvation for those who were lost. And you and I are the image of these people that are going in to the sanctuary. So as we're moving forward tonight, keep that in mind.
In the law, it says in Exodus 21:14, it says, "But if anyone schemes and kills someone deliberately, that person is to be taken from my altar and put to death." Okay, let me repeat that again. In Exodus 21:14, and I want you to focus on these words because the next words, the next verse is gonna gain its power from this verse right here. It says, Exodus 21:14 says, "But if anyone schemes and kills someone deliberately, that person is to be put is to be taken from my altar and put to death. This is what the law said. All right? Now, Jesus on the cross says this. Jesus on the cross in Luke 23, 34, it says, Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Jesus, instead of giving the Israelites and the Jewish people the sin of deliberately killing him, shutting the door in front of him, shutting the door in front of them, and shutting and taking them out of his altar and putting them into death, Jesus is taking that sin that they're doing from an intentional sin to an unintentional sin by what he said. Father, he is praying on the cross, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Jesus becoming the city of refuge for the Israelites and for everyone who hung him on the cross. You know, he is applying the rules of the city of refuge because he was the main symbol or the main example of the city of refuge. If that's not enough for you, in Acts 3:17, it's not Jesus, but it's Peter, led by the Holy Spirit, says these words to the Israelites. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance as your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold throughout all the prophecies, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Remember, pay attention again to the first few words. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in what? In ignorance. Very similar to the words that Jesus said, unintentional. You did not know what you were doing. All of this is opening the door of God's mercy to the city of refuge to you and me. All of this is opening the door of grace to every single one. Jesus is choosing to take this sin that was committed against him on the cross from the intentional to the unintentional so the door can be open, so the mercy can be extended, so the grace can be given. You know, that same exact grace, that same exact mercy is given to you and to me today. Okay, how do we respond to this? Listen to what it says in verse 4. When someone flees to one of these cities, stands at the entrance of the city gate, and states his case before the elders, they are to bring him into the city and give him a place to live among them. The first step that when someone commits that unintentional murder, when someone commits that sin, the first thing is to find the city of refuge and run to that city of refuge, knowing I made a mistake. I am in trouble. Okay? I am in trouble and I need help. I am in trouble and I need safety. Let me tell you, a lot of our problems would be solved today if we quickly realize that we are the ones that made those mistakes and ran to Jesus as our city of refuge. The problem is we're not convinced that we made the mistakes. We're not convinced that he is the city of refuge. And we are trying to save ourselves or trying to find salvation in other places. The first thing that when someone feels like they're in trouble, they run to the city of refuge. They come to the city of refuge and they state their case and they say, I am here and I need refuge. When was the last time we came before God desperately and on our knees, surrendering to Him, saying, I need help. If you let me go from this place, I will not survive. The Avenger is waiting out there for me. The Avenger, my blood is being seeked right now. Is that a word?
Sure.
Yeah. You know, I need your help realizing that I'm in trouble, realizing that I need help, and realizing that there is a city of refuge right very close to me. You know, and we're gonna talk about this in just one moment about how strategically placed all these city of refuge, how they were placed, where they were placed, what it means, and all of that. But the first step is for someone to realize, I'm in trouble. My marriage is in trouble. My children are in trouble. My home is in trouble. My family is in trouble. We are in trouble, and we need the city of refuge. You come to the city of refuge and you stand, you know, and what you will find out really quick is that it's not you that's standing on the door and knocking. That's actually him standing on your door, knocking to open up for him. What a wonderful city of refuge we have. Thankfully, we don't have to travel far. Thankfully, we don't have to go to a place. Thankfully, that he is around us, he is in the midst, that he can and he will deliver when we seek him with all of our hearts.
If we jump to verse 5 here, it says, "Now if the avenger of blood pursues him, they must not surrender the manslayer into his hands, because that man killed his neighbor accidentally without prior malice." Verse 6, "He is to stay in that city until he stands trial before the assembly, and until the death of the high priest serving at the time. Then the manslayer may return to his own home in the city from which he fled." The question here is that struck us is, why the high priest's death? What does that sort of mean? And the high priest was ensuring justice and protection for this individual. And the death of the high priest meant the end of the refuge, or the time to seek sanctuary. It sort of highlights the importance of timely action, that you and I only have so much breath of life. And there is a time that's been given to us to seek refuge. And there's a period of time when that protection is over, and our life comes to an end, and the refuge is gone. It really highlights our need to be timely. You know, the Bible says that when you hear my word, respond. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but essentially, when we hear God coming, reaching us, coming for us, offering us refuge, we are to respond. We're to respond. It's an important element. And I wonder how often sometimes we keep from recognizing that there's like moments of grace and forgiveness, and they're available to us at a certain time. And there are times where we have to jump on that, where we have to get in the place where we're experiencing the city of refuge before that time sort of comes to an end.
And you know, just remember, by the death on the cross, by the death of Jesus on the cross, what happened to you and me? All of our debts has been paid. You know, so when the high priest dies here in this picture, that person in the city of refuge, that's it, can no longer be avenged from. That no longer has an account to pay for because the high priest is dead. You know, you and I do not have to live with the weight of sin that we have committed because we have our high priest. We have someone who died on the cross for us and who is interceding for you and me right now by the work he's done. It's not by empty words, but by the work that he was done. That when God the Father looks at you and me, he looks at us covered by his son, who paid all the price, who paid the full price for us. And then we If we go back to Numbers 35 and Deuteronomy 19, it gives us a few specifications about the city of refuge and the cities of refuge, and it tells us also the names of them, and we're going to read them to you right now. Let me see. So in from verse 7 all the way to 9, it gives us the names. So it says, so they set apart Kadesh in Galilee, in the hill country of Naphtali, Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim, and Hebron in the hill country of Judah, and beyond the Jordan, east of Jericho, they designated Bezer on the wilderness plateau from the tribe of Reuben, Ramoth in Gilead from the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan from the tribe of Manasseh. So when you go like this is in right now we're talking about Joshua, but when you go back to the Deuteronomy and Numbers, there are some specifications about these cities of refuge that we would notice. The first thing you will notice that most of them are set on high places, as we just read right now, in the hills of Ephraim and the hills of Gilead, and all of them are in high places that you cannot miss them. What is that a picture of for you and me? That salvation is highlighted. God makes sure that the message of the cross, that when he was hung on the cross, it was not in a basement. He was hung on the cross up there in that mountain because he wants to show the whole world that salvation is available. The cities of refuges, every single one of them was highlighted in a high place that you cannot miss it. That's the first thing. The second thing that was required for the city of refuge, that all the roads leading to the city of refuge that are to be made plain to me, to like, very much to
Clear.
have, huh?
Yeah, to be made.
Yeah, to be made plain, to be ready. So they have straight roads to the city of refuge. This reminds me of so many verses in the Word of God for those who are making the making the road or plowing the roads for the Word of God. This should be you and me preparing the roads, preparing the way. We should be like John the Baptist, that those who are preparing the way, we should be like those messengers that are delivering the good news, bringing the word of God to everyone who needs it. And also, it was strategically placed very close to every region. Just like we heard right now, there were some cities of refuge on the far end on the east and one on the far end on the north. There was one on the east side of the Jordan and one on the west side of the Jordan. There is cities of refuge everywhere. So wherever you look, wherever you are, wherever you live, whoever you are, it doesn't matter what kind of tribe or what kind of color, what kind of nationality, what kind of whatever, you will have the city of refuge available to you. It was so strategically placed that you cannot miss it. And you don't have to go far for it. You don't want someone from the Far East to look like, well, yeah, I know that there is a city of refuge, but it's so far away. No, there is one right next to you. There is a Jesus right next to you. There is salvation right next to us. The word of God has never been louder than it is right now. The word of God is very loud. The message of the gospel is very loud, trying to bring people to him. And the saints and all the people of God since the beginning, from the days of Noah until these days right now, the word of God is very loud and very available. Also, there were signs to lead you that says refuge, refuge. Okay, so number one, they're placed in high places, so you can see them from up far. Number two, the roads to the city of refuge are made plain and prepared and ready. It makes it easy for you. Let's not make it hard for people to come to the city of refuge. Let's not make it hard. Let's not put weights on people. Let's not put obstacles on people when they need to come to God. Let's do what John the Baptist did. Let's do what all the other saints did. Let's do what Jesus told us to do. Prepare the way. Share the gospel. Share the message of Jesus. Not my message, not your message, not our church's message, but the message of Jesus Christ, who came, who loved us, who died on the cross for us, and who resurrected again. And also, it was strategically placed everywhere. You, wherever you are, whoever you are, doesn't matter. It's close to you. It's very, very close to you. That neighbor that you think that's very far, no, the word of God is very close to him. The gospel and the good news are very close to him. And we need to make sure that we see the signs. The signs back then, it was physical signs that says refuge, refuge. Now, the signs of the gospel are everywhere. And I hope that I can be one of those signs of the gospel. I hope that I can be a reason why someone sees my life and glorifies the Father and comes to him. Amen. So let's take a look really quick. We have a few minutes. So let's take a look at the cities and what they mean and where they are. What's that?
Okay, so I'll start with the first three. Kadesh means holy, and it's on the end of the country by Gilgal. And the holiness of this city, Galilee, sorry. The holiness of this city symbolizes the holiness and the sanctuary that we find in God. That's what I said.
It means holy. You didn't say the name, not
Oh,
the meaning.
okay. Sorry, it means holy. Hebron means fellowship, and that was on the other end by Judah. And this signifies intimacy with God, fellowship, depth in relationship with God. Shechem. Shechem means shoulder. And it's in the middle of the mountains of Ephraim, and it really signifies God's protection, his ability to carry our burdens. When we think of shoulders, we think of God carrying and lifting on his shoulders. That's that.
So, remember, when we're talking about the city of refuge, we're talking about who? We're talking about Jesus. So every place, every city that we are sharing right now, when you think of it, you think of Jesus. So if you're going to Kaddish, if this is what's close to you, you know, this means the holiness of God, the holiness of Jesus. If it's Hebron, that Jesus is looking for a fellowship with us. If it's Shechem, it means that protection, but the kind of protection that comes from a militarily position. You know how Jesus was said that he was born and ri'asa ala katifayn.
And the government was on his shoulders.
So that kind of strong, powerful, that kind of authority that he has. And then we have Bezar, which means fortress. Okay, fortress. It's a place of protection, and it was very close to the Reubenites on the east side, across from Jericho. Okay, and if we think about Jesus or think about God, he is our shield and our strong tower. He is our strong fortress. How many psalms were written? How many verses were given? That tells us that he is our strong tower, that he is our rock, that he is our fortress, that he is our safe place. That's what Bizarre means, and it was designed specifically for this group of people. Ramoth means high and lifted up. Okay, and it was very close to the tribe of Gad. Okay, in the Gilead Mountain, in the middle of two and a half tribes. You know, that didn't cross the Jordan. God is high and lifted up and takes us to an elevated presence, even through difficult times. Even through difficult times, he is high and lifted up. He is able, he is mighty, he is above all of our circumstances. And then finally is Gulen. Gulen means joy and happiness. Joy and happiness. And this was for closer to the tribe of Manasseh. And it just tells us that he is our joy and our salvation, even during the toughest time. You know, when you look at these cities of refuge, you look at the meaning and you start thinking of them as Jesus as our reference, you will see why. You will see why it's very important for us to understand it, because I am running away as a sinner. And as soon as I come to him, I experience joy. I experience happiness. I experience safety. I experience praises. I experience being part of the royal governing family. I experience his protection. I experience everything that is good that God has. I get to experience. I experience his holiness. Okay? I experience a fellowship with the Father and fellowship with him. That's what happens when a murderer like myself chooses to run to the city of refuge. What a great God we have, okay, that didn't forget any details for us. You know, I wish I can show you. I'm looking at the map right now. I wish I can show it to you. I don't think I will be able. I don't
Or we can get it. Yeah, we can get it.
how.
You keep talking, and we'll get it.
Oh, here,
That
can you
way.
see this?
Yeah. Kinda.
No.
Ish. A little bit. I'll
So
make
these
sure.
are the city of refuge, as you can see them. They are, yeah, you can. They are strategically placed. So wherever you are, you have a city of refuge. That's the part that when we were studying this today, that's the part that really, really touched my heart. I mean, all of it is wonderful, but the closeness of God is something that we often don't talk about enough. Something that unfortunately, a lot of churches, a lot of believers, a lot of traditional churches, they're still trying to put a separation between us and God. They're still trying to find a way to connect with God while He is right there. He is with us. He is around us. He is available for us. And all we need to do is just look up. It's right there. It's right there. Here it is. That's a good one. Okay, we're about to share it right now. Sorry, technical difficulties.
Okay, second. Like
There it is. Okay. All right, can you guys see this?
yes,
Yes,
we
no.
see
Okay.
it.
Yeah. So as you can see, it's everywhere. This is the region. This is the country. Some are you know, before they cross, some after they cross, one all the way, as you can see, Kadesh on one end, Hebron is on the other end. And then across you have Bezar and you have Golan and you have something in the middle. There is not a place where you cannot go and not find the city of refuge. But the most important part is, do we admit that we need a city of refuge? Are we convinced today that we need Jesus, that we need his help, that we've made a mistake, that we're in trouble? We're in trouble and we desperately, desperately need his help. I pray that we can go back to this chapter, read it again. If you need any of the meanings, I mean, you can find them online, but I'll be more than happy to share them again. But just meditate on these, you know, just meditate on these. If you're feeling like you're lacking a little bit of holiness, well, there is one for you. Kaddish is right there for you. Jesus is right there for you. If you feel like you're lacking intimacy with God, you know, Jesus is there for you. He can lead you through that. He can help you with that. If you feel like you're terrified and scared all the time and you're not sure of what will happen tomorrow and you're concerned and you need someone to lead you the right way, Jesus can do that for you. Jesus can do that for you. If you are lacking joy, if you're lacking praises, if you're lacking, that place with the Father, Jesus can deliver us to that as well. And that's all what we have today for the cities of refuge. It's a very deep and wonderful topic. Please let's share, ask questions or share what you think. We still have time to discuss it a little bit more.
I have a question come to my mind when Moses killed this guy and he ran away, but he ran away nowhere to the desert. He didn't go to the refuge.
That was way before. So Moses, when Moses killed the Egyptian, remember Moses was still living in Egypt. When he ran to this place in the desert, you're right, and then he stayed there 4 years, and then after 4 years he came back to Egypt to deliver the Israelites. And then when he left Egypt, he went back to the wilderness, and that those to go to the promised land. So that was years and years and years before they got to the promised land. And before even Moses received that promise from God or those words from God when he was in the wilderness. That's a good question. A good observation.
The reason of the refugee cities is because it's too many unintentional kills around at that time in there, or
It could be, yeah, it could be, but God doesn't want to leave anything for chance, because he knows accidents happens, he knows things happen. And again, remember that this is a metaphor. Not, I mean, yes, it's like it actually did happen back then, but for us here, what we're learning is that if someone sins, if I make a mistake, if I feel like I'm in trouble, I always can run to the city of refuge. So yeah, there was probably that kind of these kind of mistakes where people accidentally hurt each other or accidentally died. And remember, this is a different environment when they were living in that than we're living in right now. But God wanted to make sure that to give an out or to give safety for someone who's in trouble.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. It just came to my mind that in the present time, the people who does that, they go to the embassies in different to ask for
Oh,
asylum, right?
yeah,
That's very good.
yeah.
Yeah, so probably that's part of based on this that they have the
Very good.
huge.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was just hearing a sermon the other day about like if you're in a foreign country and you're in trouble, you run to your embassy, and as soon as you get to your embassy, that's it. It's like you're in your country. You have all the protection and safety. If you're running to the embassy of the United States, you're enjoying all the power and strength of the United States Army, politics, everything, because you're inside the embassy of the United States. That's a good illustration.
What I noticed also, it's as you were explaining, I kind of understood more. I don't see everything over here describes coming us to Jesus as we are, because sometimes we think,
That's good.
I'm ashamed if I go before him because of this or that. And I don't see any city that says, that will judge you or not receive you. That's how he is. We come to him because some people say, yeah, I'll go to church once I stop doing this, or I get better and all that. We're coming to him as we are.
Yeah.
Nothing else that we have
It's
to
very
do.
good.
And
Yeah.
he's receiving us with his holiness. And he allows us to fellowship with him. And he's allowing us to be in his presence and then turn whatever we're coming with to him into joy. I think it was beautiful. It
That
was
is
very
beautiful.
beautiful. Thank
Very
you.
good. So good.
And also, if like you said that, it's like Pastor I was telling us last week about that, we have to look to the glasses of grace that God giving us.
Yeah.
He's looking at us with his grace.
Yeah, because sometimes I'm like, I know I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do, or if I feel certain way with my real dad, with my earth dad, I was
Sure.
afraid to come to him because he was a disciplinary. With a look, it was more than enough. And like sometimes I think that way. Oh, would Jesus, how would he feel knowing that I did whatever or how I felt today? But no, we know. I love the word refuge because you feel covered. I feel covered.
Yeah. Good,
Wow.
praise God. It's
Yes.
amazing.
Thank you. Thank you for breaking it down that way. It makes it feel that he is real. He knows what we're going through. He
Yeah,
helps
yeah.
us no matter what. Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Soraya. That's very good. That's good. Anyone else?
Can I just say that between the names of Zelophehad's daughters and their meanings, and the names of these cities and their meanings, I mean, I read this several times, but never really seen it this way before. So you guys just kind of bring it to life and bring it to co into color, and so it just changes the whole dynamic. This is insight. This is a lot of insight. So great job on clarifying this.
Thank you.
Once I started looking at these as characteristics and attributes of Christ, it
Changed.
changed everything, right? Because now these cities of refuge are telling me who Jesus is and telling me the characters that he carries for us, that are available to us. So,
There's six of them, and six
yeah.
being the number of man, meaning the perfect is dealing with the
Good.
imperfect, and he's calling us to the high places because
Yes.
it's not just the city on the hill where the cross is revealed and salvation is revealed, but I think it's also indicative of when the 12 were going to spy out the land and they looked at the bottom, they looked at the whole land. It's like, okay, get a fresh perspective. When you make a mistake, don't go down into the valley and stay there and hide, but go back up to the mountaintops or to the hills and get a fresh perspective again in the place of holiness and fellowship and protection and fortress and high and lifted up in joy and happiness. I mean, just a great, great reminder and a great, great, yeah, thank you.
It's good.
Okay. Well, we'll give you a few minutes back of your evening. Let's pray, close out. Pastor Al, would you pray for us?
For tonight, thank you for just expounding your word and bringing things that maybe were not so clear and bringing some real clarity to them right now. Thank you for using Assam and Dina. Lord, to study your word and to allow revelation to flow through them, to bring clarity and truth and just an open eye, Lord God, to the truth of your word, the beauty of your word. Father, I pray that you would help us to hide these things and reflect on them on a regular basis, to understand that you are drawing us to this higher place. When we do stumble and make mistakes, that we run back to you because you are our place of refuge and our high priest. And we just thank you for that. And I pray for every person on this call and those that are listening later on, that you would just put your hand of blessing upon each person, Lord God, as you draw our hearts closer to you.
Yes,
continue to bless, Lord God. Continue to bless in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Okay, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you so much. We'll
see you next
week.
Yes, thank you.
For the ladies, happy Mother's Day.
Ooh. Yes, happy Mother's Day. Yay. Have a good one. Enjoy your day.
Thank you. Good night.
Bless you.
Bye.